All right, you all can leave now. That was the good stuff. Well, as you can tell, if you haven't already, we're going to be talking about joy today. So I'm going to give you guys a moment to start. What brings you joy? Just a side note, this isn't a time like you have to church it up, okay? You can say watching TV or something like that. That's fine, as long as it's G-rated. What's something that brings you joy? God? God? Hmm?
Music.
Anyone else? Music? Absolutely. What's something else brings you joy?
Children.
My wife yelled children. I thought she yelled chili. I did not know that. I didn't think she liked chili that much. Okay, yes, children. Better just go on. I was curious, so I Googled what brings, just kind of curious about where America's at. So what brings Americans joy? And to my surprise, there was a poll done a little over a month ago, back in September 2024, so it's the most recent one. They did a poll of 2,000 Americans and asked them, in their defense, what brings simple joy? And they gave a list of 10. I'm just going to tell you the top five. Okay. Any guesses what number five is? If you guessed it, you can have one.
Football.
It's not football. It is, someone said it, and I was being, I don't know if facetious is the word, but I'm going to say that. There's free coffee in the back. Number five, at 42% of the 2,000 people, the smell of freshly brewed coffee. Number four, at 43%, watching their favorite TV show. Number three, 44%, it made its way back onto the list, a cup of coffee. Number two, at 45%, this is where it starts to get like a Hallmark movie, catching up with an old friend or a loved one. That's a good thing. That brings simple joy, although I wouldn't say simple. Number one, at 48%, the number one thing that brings simple joy to Americans, waking up after a good night's sleep. I think that's very interesting. I enjoy a good night's sleep, but it's interesting that this is a list. I did not ask for permission. She had no idea I was going to say this, and I may need somewhere to stay after this. The coffee thing is for real. Like, coffee brings joy in the morning. There are some mornings it's like, make the cup of coffee for her, set it on the cart, and slowly push it towards her till she has it. That's what it looks like in my house. Maybe not. That is a bit of exaggeration. But it's amazing, those of you who really enjoy coffee, at how serious you are about coffee. I want mine to taste like a dessert. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about joy, and you may be one who has heard a message on joy before. And I'm just going to go right after it from the get-go. You probably have heard a message where it was like, joy and happiness are two different things. Raise your hand if you've heard that message before. Okay. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a message like that, because there's some biblical truth to it. There is. You can separate the two. But let me break it to you. In Scripture, from beginning to end, those two are not separated. Joy and happiness is the Hebrew words, the Greek words. There's about a dozen of them, and they're all interchangeable. It essentially is saying those things that bring a smile to your face, the things that would make you feel good, that make you feel happy. Joy and happiness are not two different things, but that they're interchangeable. So when we're talking about joy, it's feeling good, a good feeling. Okay, that's where we're starting. But I also want to point to this, though the word joy in Scripture is not something you can look at like with hope or peace the last couple of weeks and say, hey, by studying this word, there may be a nuance to it. That would help us better understand it. Joy is a little bit different. And what we'll do is we'll look at joy and what Scripture says brings joy to help us better understand the biblical view of joy. You know, I have a friend who says he connects with God, maybe not a unique way, but different than I do. When he asks me, what's the ways that you connect with God? I say, you know, spending time with people. If you know me and I'm home alone for a certain amount of time, it's like, who can I go visit because I've been by myself too long? I will connect with God through studying His word and in prayer, those ways. His way of connecting with God, spending time in nature. Any of you relate? Go walking around, see God's creation. Hey, I don't disagree. God's creation is beautiful. In fact, at the very beginning, he said it's good. So naturally, God's creation would bring joy. Like Psalm 65, it explains how growing crops or an abundant harvest brings joy. In Jeremiah 33:11, it says the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom. It's talking about how a wedding brings joy. Proverbs 23:24-25, maybe she studied beforehand. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Like my wife yelled out, children bring joy. Maybe not all the time. Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. It's talking about how the joy from a good smelling perfume correlates and is comparable to the joy that a friend brings to the heart. By the way, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. The Bible Project does a great little, they're like 5-minute videos, and they use illustrations to help you better understand the Advent season. I would encourage you to look at that. Some of this is in here. So while the Bible is talking about all these things that bring joy, our experience in human history is not times of rainbows, sunshine, and butterflies. It's filled with darkness. It's filled with sadness. It's filled with hurt, pain. It's filled with some dark times, hard times. We can read in the Old Testament moments the Israelites were led into captivity, that they were, the Israelites were led and enslaved. They were conquered by others. In fact, it kind of starts that way. We exit Genesis and go straight into the Israelites being enslaved by Egypt, by Pharaoh. They were held and they lived in Egypt and were held as slaves for 400 years. And the interesting thing is what happens as they leave. God calls Moses to lead his people out of slavery. And what do? They cross the Red Sea. Great story. Go into a desert with nothing. The promised land is far off. But what's the first thing they do? Sing for joy while they're walking through the desert. Tim Mackey explains it this way. Joy then becomes we see human history is covered in times of darkness, the difficulty, and it gives us great insight. It gives us great insight to see how God gives direction to his people in regards to joy. And that's where Tim Mackey says, joy then becomes an attitude that God's people adopt, not because of their circumstances, but because of their hope in God's love and promises. Amen. That's what we see as you follow the Old Testament and what happens with God's people in regards to joy. And we continue to see it. The story of Nehemiah. He's called by God to rebuild Jerusalem. It's been, I'm just going to say, ransacked and destroyed a number of times. It's left in rubbles. He gets a report that it's not doing well. He's a Hebrew who's living far off, and God calls him back to Jerusalem to rebuild it. And as they begin to work on it, God works what he does, and things start to come together, but there's opposition, and in the face of opposition, they hit a day of Sabbath, and this is what he says. In Nehemiah 8:10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. So eat good food. Enjoy time together. If you find someone who doesn't have anything, give to them. Why? For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So he says, enjoy. We're going to celebrate regardless of what's going on. Why? Because we know our God. That's why it's so important when we look at Isaiah, and he looked forward to a time when the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. God's people then adopt this attitude of joy, not because of their circumstances, but because of their future destiny. That's why when we look at the New Testament and you hear that verse that you and I know probably oh so well in Luke 2:10, and the birth of Jesus brings about this story that we know. I'm going to start in verse 8. You can read it on the screen. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I always find it funny. You and I often will think, oh, seeing an angel would be awesome. Every time we read about it in Scripture, it's not awesome. People fall down as if they're dead or run away terrified. But the angel and anyone that God sends, including Jesus, will always say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. We have heard that a tremendous amount of times. It's in most of the movies that we watch this time of year. This angel that shows up and says, I bring you good news of great joy. This part of the nativity story becomes so commercialized, and why wouldn't the enemy want to make us numb to it? It becomes commercialized to the point that the joy that's being spoken of right here, we can get it twisted, what he's talking about. We can spend this time of year being joyful because of the shopping for family or the good food and good drinks that the time we spend together. Maybe you're like us and we spend more time playing board games this time of year, although that's not always joyful if you're losing. All of those are good and wonderful. It just isn't what determines our joy. There are those who do lean on these things, these, again, good things for a sense of joy. And come January, there's what's called the Christmas blues. The credit card bill has come. The times with friends and family are in the rearview mirror. The good food has gone to the side. And what are you left with? There's no more wonderful music. The lights have stopped twinkling. Those things you leaned on for joy are gone. And so in January, we see a massive spike in depression. That thing we leaned on for joy is gone. That's why it's so important for us to realize and recognize what the angel means when he says good news for great joy. He was making a much larger statement than spend December celebrating. This is God just became man to save you from your sins and give you the joyful prospect of eternity in his presence. I'm going to read that again because that's what the angel is declaring. God just became man. Jesus, baby wrapped in a manger, is not just a baby. This is the high king of heaven who left heaven, came wrapped in human flesh as a baby lying in a manger. He came with a purpose, and that was to save you from your sins and give you joy because you know you will have eternity in his presence. That's what the angel says and what he means when he says, I'm coming with good news of great joy. And I have often thought when God gave him the order to go down and tell them the time that they've been waiting for, this time that they've been waiting thousands of years for, they've been waiting on the Lord, you're going to tell them about it. If there was maybe an argument between angels, man, I've been waiting. I would like to share the good news too. I don't want you to miss it. This is why he says, I've got great news. I almost want to change it to, I've got the best news. That's why I also think later in verse 13, 14, we see this heavenly celebration that follows it. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Can I help blow your mind a little bit? Whenever you watch this on TV, what shows up? Like 5-6 angels pop up in the sky and they sound that, you know, this angelic harmony choir that's singing. The word that's being used there, a great company, is a military term that means upwards of 10,000 in number. So that angel shows up and says, hey, I've got good news of great joy for all the people. And then shortly after it, it's as though all of heaven shows up to sing God praises for what had just been done. That God left heaven to save you and I. This becomes the marching order of God's people. As we were reading, this becomes the theme, the anthem that then follows them. We are a people of joy because of the fulfilled promise of God coming to earth, of God providing eternity with him. First Peter, he writes, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Verse 9, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We, as God's people, will be filled with joy. Because what God has provided, no one can take away. That's why it's the second fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned. They're not separate fruits. It's one fruit. Love, joy, peace. You will be a people of joy all the time. Always. 1 Thessalonians, we will rejoice always. If I can piggyback off that always and start to come down the backside of this message. Revelation 19:7. This is just a couple chapters before the end of the book. This is after Jesus has come back. This is after he has thrown the serpent into the lake of fire. This is after all of the fighting, after everything, as he begins to make all things new. In Revelation 19, it says, in verse 6, it says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. We don't just rejoice now with joy as God's people. It will be something that we do for eternity. So while now you may have darkness, there may be hard times. I did not ask for permission, but since she spoke out loud, why can you sit as your son has just passed away and rejoice with a beautiful smile on your face? Because you know where he's at and you know where you're going. There's a victory in Jesus that cannot be taken away. That's why we are people. God's people are a people of joy. We rejoice and are filled with joy in all situations because regardless of what sin and darkness may throw our way, and it throws some hard stuff, nothing can take away that free gift, that good news of great joy. So as one of God's people, I can laugh and celebrate in the face of all of it. I can rejoice. I can smile when my body aches. I can wake up with a smile even though I don't have a cup of coffee. I can wake up with very little hours of sleep. I can be bumped by the rude guy, and what should come out? Joy. Why? Because I walk with a free gift that God has given, and no one can take it away. That's why I enjoy that song so much, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let me end this way. There's a psalm that I think does a very good job of pointing to how we sit in our people of joy. It's only six verses, but I'll read Psalm 126. I want you just to listen. There may be parts of it that you go, I don't know what they're talking about, but I'll help us understand after I'm done reading. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like a man who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. What the psalmist is doing is saying, I know what God has done. I'm going to be joyful now because I can see what he's done in the past and I know what he'll do again. So here's how I want us to end our time together. We're just going to spend a moment. I want you to sit and reflect on what God has done in your life, how you can see his working in the past. Because if it doesn't bring you joy knowing that he's a God who fulfills his promises, I don't know what else will. Let's sit for just a moment. And like the psalmist, reflect on what God has done in your life and be excited about what he can do.